Hey Potters, welcome to episode 259 of Cosplot, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay.
Welcome to Hell, Texas.
Woo.
Where we have had the 27th day, over 100 degrees here. It's starting to get a little ridiculous.
We are in Satan's armpit.
There actually is a Hell, Texas, by the way.
There is a Hell, Texas, as there is a Paris, Texas.
Yes. Yes, there are many, many things in Texas, and an evil daylight day star is one of them. And so we generally try and stay inside, away from it, away from the heat, hopefully while the power is staying on, so that we can work on cosplay indoors.
Fingers crossed. All the fingers and all the toes are crossed.
Yes, although recently, within the last couple of days, we've actually had scattered rain around, which is great when it rains, but then afterward it's so humid that it literally fogs up your glasses when you walk outside. And it makes it a little difficult when you want to go outside and say, spray paint or cast resin or do things that are very dependent on the environment around you being at very certain levels.
If you were wondering, yes, Val is the reason for the rain because I had washed my car 2 days prior and I have a 72-hour window because my powers are that magical.
Amber did not get any rain where she is, unfortunately.
I could have
thrown a stone at it outside my window. Unfortunately, it just kind of poofed and evaporated before it actually came down on my apartment and my car, which desperately needs the rain.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fine. That's cool. I'll live.
I can't predict where it's going to be. I just know it's going to be within my general vicinity. It sometimes means it's north, sometimes it's south, sometimes it's east, sometimes it's west. It picks its own direction because, you know, weather.
Yes, unfortunately, that is just how things work out here in Texas. And speaking of cosplay, unfortunately, due to Amber being sick for the last 2 weeks, you can't really tell that I'm sick, but I am still sick, actually. I need to go see the doctor soon. But because I have been sick, I have not been able to work on cosplay or, frankly, do much of anything for the last 2 weeks. But I am spending all of my time working towards getting healthier and at least trying to take care of what I can of myself. So unfortunately, I have no updates for you guys this week, but it will balance out all of the tens of updates that I had for you guys last time we had an episode when I just dumped a bunch of resin and cloth on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be one of my down 2 week periods, and then I'll pick it up hopefully here in another couple of weeks while we're watching World Cosplay Summit.
There we go. And just like Amber, I have nothing to share yet again because I have other things going on in my life. This is a sad little segment of cosplay updates. I don't even have Cospod updates because everything's been running smoothly so far. No hiccups in the feeds, no issues on social media. So it's just been kind of even keel, which is nice, but I got nothing.
You know, we have actually been living vicariously through you all on social media because there have been a ton of cons going on within the last month or so, not just Anime Expo, which of course we talked about last episode, but as we are recording this, there's actually San Diego Comic-Con going on right now, which is another one of the really big conventions in the United States. And of course, there is cosplay at these conventions. It's one of the first editions of the convention that are kind of back in person since pandemic started. So there are a lot more attendees there, of course, in cosplay. And so I've been kind of watching the hashtags on Twitter so that I could see, you know, pictures of the cosplayers, which look amazing. People are really eager to kind of get out and about and see each other in person since I can't say pandemic ended because it hasn't ended.
It's still going.
But basically since restrictions were loosened, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
SDCC, San Diego Comic-Con, does have certain health mandates, including masking and that sort of thing. So at least I can only speak on my own behalf, but I do hope that they enforce those because we really do want all of the attendees to be happy and healthy, not just during the con, but after the con as well. I feel bad myself whenever I see reports of con crud going around after any con, not just during pandemic, but just any con. If I see a bunch of my friends all saying, oh yeah, I got con crud after the con, it makes me feel bad. I don't want anybody to have to go through that. We've all had con crud. It's not fun.
It's not fun.
I don't wish it on anybody.
But also a big thank you to all the people who sent us fan mail recently, because we had a number of you submit stuff like your cosplays that you're working on and things that you're planning to do in the future. You've asked questions of us about suggestions for materials. Like, that's always fun for us too. So thank you for all of those emails and all of the messages through Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. They were really appreciated. It's so fun to see what everybody's working on. It's so great. Love it.
Please keep sending those in to us. We really enjoy interacting with you all, and we really enjoy seeing what you're working on. Please keep it family friendly. We are a family friendly show, but please do share those things with us, and feel free to ask us questions about cosplay, because we would be more than happy to help out. And if we don't know something, we can point you to somebody that does,
Exactly.
or to one of our many episodes in our backlog on YouTube.
Someone somewhere knows the thing, and we can direct you there.
Yeah, not everything on our YouTube channel, incidentally, is from us. We have filmed panels from other panelists who are also experts in cosplay so that we can also share that content with you guys. So I promise we're not just trying to toot our own horn. We do have a really big variety on our channel.
I'm pretty sure most of the panels are from other people. I think our panel selection is very, very tiny. It's very limited.
Yep. Because we generally try and teach things that other people haven't already
Yeah,
addressed.
that's usually our niche too. I know there's been a couple times where you and I have done like a 101 cosplay panel just to kind of get our feet wet into things, but most of the stuff, like, you do high level armoring stuff, I do like fabric painting and body painting stuff. Like, we go very different spectrums that you don't see very often.
I do experimental stuff.
Yeah.
I take the book and I throw it away, and then I just do whatever I'm gonna do that just hits me in the moment, as long as it's mostly safe.
And it gets approved, so hey, we ain't gonna
And
say
then I
no to
share
it.
the, and then I share the knowledge with you guys, whether or not it actually worked. Even if it fails, I still share the knowledge with you so that you can see what happens when you fail and how to avoid it. Because failing can actually teach you more than succeeding.
Failure is always an option, as the Spethers would say.
And it's not necessarily a bad option. It's you still learn from it. And actually, speaking of failing and succeeding, why don't we go ahead and get into our topic for the show?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because it's all about failing and succeeding. And so our main topic that we wanted to chat about this episode, given all of the conventions that are going on right now and cosplay contests and such, is how do you choose your first cosplay competition? And obviously, when you want to compete in a cosplay, generally you would like to win something.
That would
You're
be nice.
not going in to fail, in other words. Not everybody wants to win a prize. Sometimes you just want to show off your hard work, and that's more than valid. That's perfectly fine. But usually people want to win at least one of the prizes that are being offered. And so you want to have a good chance of success whenever you choose your first cosplay competition. So I'd probably say that one of the first things that I would recommend doing is perhaps not biting off more than you can chew.
That's a very ambiguous statement there, Amber. That could go many
Yes.
directions.
Yes. And what I mean by that is you may not wish to choose a large, very established, very, high volume conventions that have a very high level of cosplayers competing, like, say, Dragon Con, like, say, BlizzCon, Anime Expo, San Diego Comic Con, which is going on right now, simply because those conventions tend to have a lot of competitors. They're very highly resourced. They have either a lot of money, they have a lot of time, they have a lot of resources at their disposal, like, say, shops that they can use very specialized machines at, or they have maker spaces, that sort of thing. Or they have access to, say, specialized materials, things like even more high tech than, say, Wonderflex or styrene, that sort of thing.
Or they have a whole lot of experience.
Oh, yeah. Experience is also a resource. And the only way to get experience is obviously by competing over and
Competing.
over again. And so if you want a good chance of success at, getting one of the prizes, you may not wish to start off at that level of competition, just because you may not have the resources, including the experience, yet. You will get there, I promise you. You stick with it, you'll get there. You just may not want to start there for your first one. This is not to say that you can't. You always have that option. I will not stop you. And if you choose to do it, I will give you 110% support. You just may not have as much of a shot at winning one of the prizes there your first time.
And it can be kind of discouraging for your first time if you choose to go to that big event. Because I know for me, it's, even though I went to a smaller one for my first contest, I still felt myself comparing to everybody around me. And I felt intimidated as all get. And that can be kind of overwhelming. And I'm kind of glad that I started small before I jumped into a bigger one. Because I think if I had done the big one first, it probably would have just killed my interest in it. Baby step your way into there. But also kind of want to add to that too, when you say starting big and maybe, you know, keep the expectations within reach, like do the same thing with your costume too. Sometimes you can make something really, really amazing and make a big, bold statement piece, but it may be too much. And it may be that you just don't have the time, you don't have the resources, you don't have the budget, that you may rush the project and you come up with something that's unfinished, but you're so insistent on wearing it to the con and for this one contest. All of us have been in this position. We've all done it. And some of us won't admit to it, but we've all done it. So we're so insistent on getting that piece for this contest that it doesn't meet our standards. And so we kind of walk away less than impressed with our skills, and it kind of makes the experience feel a little bit ho-hum. So it's okay to kind of set your expectations and work on something a little bit smaller, something that you can manage, so that way you can kind of ease yourself into the contest and feel more comfortable with it. Get a feel for how the contest runs, what the expectations are. You know, you learn about the stage and how to do your walk and your presentation, how judging works. And if you're in something that you feel comfortable and confident about, that'll make the experience so much better.
And actually, to kind of jump off of that with setting your expectations, not just for your cosplay, but for the actual act of being on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Because not a lot of people who end up competing in cosplay competitions for the first time have really been on a stage, unless, say, you're a theater major or a musician. Generally, most people don't spend that much time on stage. And we can tell you from experience, both from doing it ourselves and from watching other people do it, even experienced cosplay competitors will shoot across the stage. In like 10 seconds, they won't necessarily stop in place. They'll just keep moving just out of sheer nerves. It's nothing against them.
No.
When you're up there, you can really, especially if it's your first time, you can underestimate just how anxiety-racking it can be to be up on that stage with the spotlights on you and the audience watching you. And depending on, like, your preference, like, some people may find small crowds really nerve-wracking, but they're okay in large crowds. Or vice versa. Large crowds are very intimidating, but small crowds are okay. And that's something to kind of plan out whenever you're looking at that first cosplay competition to join. How large is the audience going to be?
Mm-hmm.
How large is the stage? You know, maybe it's just a little catwalk. And that may be easier for you if you're not used to being up on a stage in front of a whole bunch of people. And as you're walking on that stage, trying to remember the 30,000 things you have to remember as you're walking across the stage, like, okay, I know I have to walk here. I have to stand on this spot. Okay. And they told me I have to stand here for 10 seconds and I can't move and I have to wait for them to take my picture. And all of these things are going through your head. In addition to feeling the judging eyes of the audience upon you, as well as the judges who are sitting off to the side. And all of that is on top of you trying to get out that performance that you had going in your head of, like, mm-hmm. being in character. Like, I need to talk like this. I need to stand and pose like this. I need to be moving like this to be in character.
Yep.
All of this is going in your head all at the same time.
All at the same time.
Probably won't remember all of it, and that's nope. Okay. Nobody expects you to, but just keep in mind that that's probably what's going to happen to you, not just your first time, but your first several competitions, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But that's why we also suggest maybe choosing a smaller convention to start with, because they'll have a smaller stage, smaller audience, maybe even a smaller judging crew, and there'll be a little bit less pressure along with all those other things that go spinning in your head as you're walking across the stage, trying to remember, has it been 10 seconds or not? As you're standing in each one of your poses.
I will tell you, and everybody does this too, is that even when you're counting to 10 in your head, you're counting a lot faster than the reality of what is 10 seconds. It's probably more like 4 or 5 seconds before you move to the next stop. So that's why I tell everybody to do the same thing you did when you were taught as a kid. Do 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, because even if you're rushing through that, you're still getting close to that 10-second mark. It'll be more like 7 to 8 seconds, but at least that's long enough for you to hold your pose, to get a nice photo taken, people can see your costume, and then you can move to your next position.
Usually when people are counting in their head because nobody's wearing a watch
No.
while they're wearing a cosplay. Everybody usually counts double time in their
Yeah, it's
head.
like 1, 2, 3,
One,
4, 5.
two, three, four.
That's way too slow. People are doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Go.
And it's like, no. 10 full seconds.
Seconds. You gotta breathe. One Doctor Who.
Right.
Two Doctor Who. Or think like the
Right.
count. One, two. Just do that.
And something else to think about actually, when you're choosing your first convention to compete at for your cosplay is maybe do they have a panel on cosplay competition? Will the judges give a master class beforehand? Because that can really help you out sometimes with some of those nerves, is to just have somebody who's been there, done that, walk you through it. And I know at least when we do ours, when we host all cons cosplay contest, we actually have a rehearsal. We physically have the contestants walk the stage so they can see what it's like, give instructions, make sure everybody can get on and off the stage.
Yeah, they
If
can
they
see
need
the
help,
markers.
we give it to them. Oh yeah, we make very, very visible markers on the stage.
Very neon colored duct tape.
And we actually demo it for them before anybody touches the stage. We actually, like in our plain clothes, we'll get up, show them all, all the different steps of going across the stage, stand there, hold a pose for 10, move to the next thing, et cetera, et cetera. So we actually demo it for them, and then we make sure that they can also do it and feel comfortable doing it, and then we run the show.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be a separate panel, but it's really helpful if you have a contest that does that sort of thing and has that support for the contestants. Because if you just kind of let her rip and let it go, it may not be as successful both for you as a contestant and them as contest, runners in the end. It may not be quite what they were looking for.
So I have no good segue for this one, but something that came to mind is when you're looking up what kind of contest to enter, make sure you take the time to do some research. Read up on the rules, read up on their judging system, if they use points, if they do this, if they do that. Check their social media for their Facebook forums, if they happen to have a Facebook group, and see, if there's any information provided from past contestants, what their sign-up history is like. Maybe they've got video available so you can actually see how the contest runs. And usually from that, you can get a good feeling of, okay, yeah, I think I could fit into this pretty well, or no, I'm not too sure about this. And it's also a good way to kind of judge, okay, will my costume fit the theme of the con? Like if you're going to an anime convention and you have a comic book outfit, it may not stand out as much as if you were an anime character or vice versa. So sometimes even what you wear can affect a little bit of what's going on around you. Certain things like comic conventions tend to be more popularity based, not always the case, but just how it tends to go sometimes. So if you have a very, very popular comic book character, you might do better at a comic convention versus a craftsmanship contest at an anime convention. So taking the time to do a little bit of research and studying before you jump into your first contest is always a good idea.
And with that research, you may also want to look into what prizes are being offered.
Yes.
In other words, if you're going to put a certain amount of effort into making, a really skilled top-level costume based on your own skill level, if you're going to spend all of that time, money, effort, and experience making a costume, and you're aiming to win a prize, you want the prize to be worth at least what you've put into it. In other words, if I'm going to make a costume that, say, costs me $200, and the top prize is a $25 movie gift certificate, you have to decide if that is worth the $200 plus the time and effort that you put into that costume. You may also want to look up, as part of the reviews for that con, does the convention deliver their prizes on time? Do they mail them to
Yeah.
you? Do they give them to you in person? You know, how
Oh.
consistent is the convention about actually following what they have as policies and procedures in their cosplay contest? So if they say, here are the prizes, and they're advertised online, we will give them to you in person at the con, and anyone who doesn't pick it up in person, will have it mailed to them. Then you would expect, as a contestant, if for some reason you had a medical emergency and had to leave right after the contest, that it would be mailed to you in a timely fashion. That's the expectation. So you want to make sure in the reviews that you've seen from other contestants that the con actually does this. Because if a cosplay contest comes across as kind of flaky for whatever reason, no criticism, but if it comes across that way, you may not want to do that as your first cosplay competition. You may want to go elsewhere for your first one and then come back to it.
To kind of spin off of that too, is that there are some conventions that do have either no sandbagging rules or rules that say you cannot re-wear a costume from another contest if you've won an award. So that's something else to keep in mind too. So if you do decide, hey, I'm going to enter the contest with a $25 gift card, but you take it to another convention, the other convention says, no, you can't wear that costume again because you've already won something with it. So that's worth keeping in mind too.
Right. And then something else to consider along with the prizes are categories or skill levels, because not every cosplay contest will split their contestants into different skill levels, like beginner, intermediate, advanced. They may have different names for their categories, and that's okay. But those are just kind of the general, like by skill, those who have never competed, those who have a little bit of competition experience, and those who have a lot of competition experience. And the reason for that is because we want it to be fair, we as people who run cosplay contests, we want it to be fair, and we want you to compete with your peers who are of similar experience and skill level, at least as best as we can kind of configure it. Obviously, it won't be perfect, but it's kind of the best you can do. If you have a cosplay contest that doesn't separate people by skill level, then you'll be competing with people who may have a lot more experience than you, and that may end up being kind of demotivating for you. It can be a little discouraging, and it's not your fault. There's nothing wrong that you did. It's simply that the people who are running that cosplay contest have chosen to just have everyone compete across the board, and that can be a little bit uneven, especially when you're judging things like craftsmanship, because something like craftsmanship just takes experience. That's the long and short of it. And it takes resources, which again, people who have competed more often and may have won prizes and such may have more of. And so you may wish to choose a cosplay contest that does divide their categories by skill level so that you can compete with your peers who have also not competed before or may have only competed in, say, one contest, because that way you'll feel like it's a much more level playing field.
Yeah, I know that as of late, I'm seeing more conventions kind of following what TwitchCon has done. And then there's the other one that goes on at the Comic Con in Chicago. And I cannot remember the name of it for the life of me for some reason. But they have different categories based on the content of your costume. So, like, they have a sewing, they have an armor, they have a special effects category, which I would argue probably not the best thing to jump into if you're first time running into a contest, because just as Amber says, you're going to be going up against those who have loads of experience. Some of them are even professionals in their field, so they have just nothing but tons of experience on hand, and it can be kind of demotivating to want to jump into it again. You can if you want to, totally up to you. If you think your stuff is up to snuff, go for it. I praise you, jump into it. But it's probably worth just starting at a smaller event and going like, hey, beginner, intermediate, advanced. I haven't done this before, so they pop me in the beginner category. Cool beans. And I do want to tell people that also most cons probably do is like give judges the right to like bump someone up a level. So if they
I
say
was
like,
about to address
yeah,
that.
if they say like, okay, I entered as a beginner because this is my first time, I didn't really know where I fit, but the judges see your costume, they look at it close, and they may not tell you right then and there, but it may be something that they discuss behind the doors, and they're like, we're going to put this person in the intermediate category because they feel like it best fits them. And then usually you're notified afterwards, like, hey, you've been bumped up a category. So that kind of gives you a good gauge of where to place yourself in the future.
And just kind of a slight tangent to that is generally judges who are also cosplayers can also tell if you made the costume. or if you're wearing somebody else's, say if it's a commission.
Truth.
And it may be that, like Val said, when you go in for prejudging and they're trying to assign you a level, the judge may be able to tell that you're wearing a commission from somebody who is clearly of a higher experience level. Clearly, this was made by somebody who has done cosplay competition before, even if you haven't. And so keep in mind that they may bump you up because of that. So if you choose to purchase your cosplay, that's perfectly fine. Just bear in mind that as you take that cosplay in for your first competition, even though you haven't competed before, the person who made it probably has or has professional experience, so they may bump you up into a higher category anyway. So something to think about. Generally, the beginner category, just across all cosplay contests, is for people who have made their costume. Generally, there are some people who do compete in commissioned cosplay at the beginner level, but generally it's mostly people who have made their own
It's
or altered it.
limited experience, or if they've purchased the pieces, they've massively altered them so that way they could claim it as their own, or like it's their first time ever entering a contest. It's usually that's what the beginner category is for. I do want to add a caveat when it comes to like purchased or commissioned costumes. A lot of contests won't let you use them. So be very
Also
aware of
true.
that.
Heck for that.
Be very aware of that. Make sure to read the rules. If you commission a piece, they may say, no, go, you cannot bring that in whatsoever. Some contests do allow it, and it may just be like a quick walk-on or a quick skit or something like that. You just make sure to read the rules before you submit something because we don't want to go down that road. We don't want to promote that.
And actually, one of the best things that you can do when researching which cosplay contest is right for you is to attend one. Attend your local convention. You know, it not only helps to support your local convention, but you can actually see in person from the audience what it's like. Now, granted, you won't see anything like rehearsals and you won't see what goes on behind the
Yeah,
scenes,
none of the
but you can at
backstage
least see how
stuff.
it's right. You can at least see how it's run. You can see, you know, how they've ordered things, how people go across the stage. You can also, you know, do as Val mentioned and read up on the rules that they have, the categories they have, the prizes they have. You can read up on all of those things and then actually see how it works and see if maybe that's a good fit for you. You can also talk to the contestants after the contest is over. Just make sure that you're polite and ask if you can have a few minutes of their time and just ask, you know, what did you think of the contest experience? I'm thinking about entering it next year, maybe myself, but I don't have very much competition experience. You know, what do you think of this contest, maybe for a beginner? And generally, the cosplayers will be really nice and they'll give you their very truthful opinion. So that's an option too.
It'll also let you know whether or not the con starts the contest late.
Also true. And how long the contest runs.
Oh, those are always the most painful ones.
Oh,
Oh.
we should add that as another criteria for beginner cosplay competition. Please do not, for your own health, choose contests whose rehearsal plus contest will run you 6 to 8 hours.
Good Lord.
Don't, just
Just
for your
don't.
own health.
It sucks
It
even
is
as a
not
master
fun.
level.
It does.
It
And for
sucks.
beginners, it's worse because you don't have that experience and know what to expect in terms of making sure you have enough food to eat, making
Yeah,
sure that
you're
you're hydrated.
hydrated.
If you don't have a cosplay handler, then you have to do everything yourself, making sure that you can go to the bathroom because there's a group bathroom break whenever you have rehearsal. Welcome to cosplay competition. You know, the rehearsal itself can take 2 hours, which is as long as the contest is itself. There's a lot of standing. There's a lot of, you know, less than comfortable costumes. It's not really a great environment. We're not saying that you can't. You can if
You
this is what you
can.
want, but it's probably not the best option for your first competition.
You guys see all the pain and suffering on my face, right? It's just, it's hilarious how the contests that have been the best run have been always at, mid-sized conventions and at WonderCon, where we got things done in an hour and a half from start to finish, and that was including judging. And that was it. And it was great. And I want more of those. And it's just, it pains me now to even think about being in a contest for longer than 3 hours because it is just so exhausting. And oh, it makes my body ache and my bones hurt and my back is now hurting. And oh, Lordy, I don't, no, thank
Yeah,
you.
it's even for experienced competitors, it is a marathon. It is an endurance test.
Endurance.
Even experienced competitors will tell you they don't like it.
We hate it.
It's so much better to compete at contests that have their stuff together and can run it very smoothly and efficiently. So that's something you'll see in the reviews, or if you attend the cosplay contest and then go talk to the competitors later. Generally, they'll tell you if it was like a 6 hour ordeal or an 8 hour ordeal.
If the contest starts an hour or an hour and a half late, probably means there's some
Also
stuff.
bad.
Yeah, that's a sign that there's some stuff going on behind the scenes with rehearsals or getting things set up or judging, and that's a sign that you probably don't want to do it. Not that the contest is bad, it's just that they're probably prone to lateness because things were running late or that they were doing a longer rehearsal or longer judging session. It just things were going longer and longer and longer, and it just delays everything.
Right. And generally, you want your first cosplay competition to go as smoothly as possible. It's also a confidence booster when it happens that way. When everything runs smoothly, even if you don't win a prize, as long as everything went well and you feel like you did well up on stage and you feel like you presented your costume well, then that can be a really big motivational boost for your next one. And you can choose to either stick with that competition for the next year, or you can move to a different convention and try again. And, there are plenty of people where if they don't win an award with a costume, then they'll take that costume to a different con and try and win an award too. So make sure you check the rules on that as well, because some contests will prohibit you from wearing the same costume even if you didn't win an award, because they don't want that to be a thing. They want it to be fair competition. So just in general, do your research, check up on things as best as you can, ask
Ask
questions,
questions.
talk to people. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there, to talk to people, get those questions answered. And then, all things considered, make your decision and then go for it. Have the courage to just go for it. Caution to the wind, throw the book out the window. Just go out there, strut your stuff, and most of all, have fun, because that's kind of the point.
Do the thing and have fun.
Yes. And it's okay if you don't win.
Oh yeah, that I think that's
Most
the
people don't the first time.
most people don't just in general because I mean there's only so many awards, unfortunately, as much as and we've been in this position too many times to count. Like we would love to give something to everybody that walks the stage because we understand the courage and the energy and the effort that it takes to do all of that. We just don't have enough awards to do that, and we would love to, but we can't. And it hurts every time, so it sucks. I hate doing that. But I mean, it's just the reality. Only a few entries are gonna win, so.
Yeah, we have limited funds. Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
Otherwise, everybody would get 50 cents. And I don't think that you wouldn't, if you're looking at your first cosplay competition to join and the prize is 50 cents, I don't think you're going to want to compete there. So
Everyone gets a half
we're not going to
dollar.
do that to you. Yeah, we're not going to do that to you. But all right, I believe that will bring a close to this episode unless you have anything else.
That's all for me.
Awesome. Well, of course, if you would like to join in the conversation and let us know your thoughts on choosing your first cosplay competition, or perhaps you'd like to tell your story of what happened when you had your first cosplay competition, feel free to join in the conversation via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
For those who are watching us, the information is located underneath Amber. It's always there. It doesn't change. For those who are listening, you can visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook or Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter at Cospodcast.
Or, of course, you can email us podcast@cospod.org, where you can let us know where you think Nick Cage should be the judge for a first-time cosplay competition.
At our
Let us
convention,
know.
duh.
That would be awesome.
Nick Cage
But,
Con.
you know, maybe others have different opinions. Otherwise, please, please, please stay safe, stay healthy out there. Most of all, that is what is most important. Keep working on those cosplays so that we can see all of your shining, smiling faces at a local convention nearest you. Otherwise, we will see you guys next time in episode 260. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.